Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Group Answers, the group's podcast show, but it's not just any other show. This is, say it, Chris.
100!
there are lots of things we did. We were not able to get Van Halen here, and the caterers did not show up, but we are here for our 100th episode. Chris Surratt, I can't believe we made it. That's
nope,
right.
Nope.
They're writing songs about us up in Cleveland. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Ohio.
No.
I heard it on the radio the other day. So we are here. Chris and I are here as always, and we are joined by other regular, semi-regular, Brandon Hiltabeitel, Common spelling.
Semi-regular.
But a special guest today.
Wait a minute. Before you announce it.
We don't do that.
No, we're going
to
announce it.
We need to start over.
We're going
to
do a little drum roll. Ready?
All right, come on. Well, we already told people that he was coming.
No, we didn't. We said it was a secret. We did not say who it is.
But it's not.
And if you didn't listen to the first 26 episodes, this makes no sense to you.
But it's not the guy we fired, right?
No. No, he left on his own accord.
So how do we want to do this? Our special guest. Okay, drum roll. But we got it. This is Rick Howerton.
Rick Howerton, everybody.
100.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Howerton. I'm not worthy of a drum roll, and I'm not Van Halen, but I wish I was.
You're looking as much cooler than they are nowadays.
Oh, thank you very much.
I mean, if you've seen Van Halen, if you've seen Eddie, and he looks bad. I mean,
does
honestly,
he?
Yes.
But he can probably still pull off the denim jacket.
When you did that many drugs. Rick, I mean, honestly, you guys can't see it. Because we don't have cameras. We should add cameras to this
like
thing.
Yeah, like Mike and Mike.
It'd be so much more fun.
It would be.
But Rick.
I can't imagine more fun, though. I'm sorry I keep interrupting.
Oh, no, it's okay. Rick looks great. You look really, really good.
What did I look like before? That may be the real question.
Great. Also great.
Great.
Also great.
Man, dude, it's a tough crowd.
On the great scale. I mean,
no, I should have just said thank you. Thank you, Chris.
I mean, we kind of follow your life through social media and noticed that you've been looking svelte in your pictures, and your son likes to brag about you. So, and now we see you in person.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Son
and
Josh,
you look good too.
Who was Brandon's pastor, right?
That's right.
Until you abandoned
six months ago.
Relationship with Rick is he's my grand pastor. So he planted the church that changed my life, and his son was my pastor for 7 years and recently left me.
But you were never there when Rick
healing.
Was. You were never there.
No,
when
Josh
Rick
was already the pastor when I got there.
But. And Rick and I go back some ways. Our paths crossed earlier in Lifeway's, it was Lifeway then in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we were on staff together with the old Serendipity team for a good 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, went on a heck of a journey relationally as well as professionally. It was a heck of a ride.
Man, I was actually talking about that first meeting that I had with Serendipity last night with my youngest daughter, Skylar, and the questions that Ron had us go and take to God and then come back. And I kind of like, okay, I really don't think this will work, but I'll go do it because this is my first meeting with these guys. And came back and I told Skylar, I said, I couldn't even hardly talk. I was answering the question, God, what do you really think about me? And I still remember that day. So yeah, we served together for, I guess, a good 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Right? Until you took this job, right?
Yeah.
In some form or fashion.
Most transforming small group I've ever been in.
Plus
seriously.
The Serendipity team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, Rick, you were a part of this thing from the beginning, from episode one. I think I looked it up today. You were like the first 26 episodes back when it was called Groups Matter podcast.
Yeah.
And then you moved to Kentucky. So catch us up. What's been going on? What are you doing now?
Yeah, so I'd always wanted to go back and work with the Kentucky Baptist Convention and work with Kentucky churches.
I was.
You're a Kentuckian, aren't you? Hoptown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saved through a Kentucky Baptist ministry on a college campus. And my mentors were all folks that had worked in that campus ministry area, and I'd had a lot of history in Kentucky, and it just always been a dream. So a particular position came open where I got to stretch myself. I am a church consultant for a little over 400 churches. I'm sorry?
That's a lot of churches.
He should just say 401.
That's true. Just 401. And so the deal is we consult these churches on any topic they'd like to consultation on, as well as we do church revitalization with dying churches. Hmm. So ever since I've been in this role, almost three years, every week is another. I've never had to consult on that one before. Hmm. So let's go back and find out what we need to learn, call the right people to find out what we need to be able to say to this church or help this church with.
That's fun.
It has been really
and stretching.
It's been pretty exciting. Yeah. And the weird thing is that God took me to a location that has hardly any small groups. Most of our churches are very rural churches. They're traditional Southern Baptist churches. So I still get calls from folks to help them with small groups, but it doesn't come from my professional constituency. So it's kind of weird, actually.
Huh. Yeah. Wow. Well, since Brian did his little reminiscing with Rick, when I first moved to Nashville and was a groups guy at a local church, Rick was one of the first people that kind of connected me to everybody, and then actually ended up at Lifeway because of Rick. Rick sent me an email and said, "Would you be interested?" And I said, "Let's talk." So here we are. And then Rick left me. So it's been a little sad since then. But other than that, we're glad to have you. So speaking of going back, you know, what we're going to do in this episode is talk a little bit about the history of this podcast and some of our favorite moments. But you and Brian were the first hosts. And actually, I was the very first guest.
Yep,
that's right.
The Groups Matter podcast, which I can honestly remember
Providence.
Where I was. Rick, I don't remember if you called me or texted me. I can't remember the time. But
I probably called you because I probably didn't know how to text yet. Brian actually taught me how to text.
So I was sitting at a Chipotle eating lunch, I had just resigned my position at Crosspoint and was kind of figuring out what's next. Wasn't completely clear on that. And Rick called me and said, "Do you want to come be a guest on this podcast?" And I was like, "Yes, yes, I do. Can I come right now?" And he's like, "No, don't you come tomorrow." So that was a lot of fun. So I came and did the first Groups Matter podcast. But why did this thing start? Why did you guys kick it off?
Well, if you remember that first episode, though, it was absolutely a best foot forward because we were using the studio over at SBC,
That's right. It was a different – it was like a big room.
Yeah, so we looked like we were big time.
And I didn't even talk to you because you guys were doing it like a different format back then where Rick was doing the interview.
No,
you
guys, I was in there. I just didn't talk.
You were in
talk.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you did, yeah.
I was the silent partner. We were like the Penn and Teller, which is a terrible audio
tough
format.
For podcast.
Yeah,
it's
that's
tough.
Right.
That's a workout podcast.
Yeah, we abandoned that after one episode.
I swear Brian is here.
I mean, Brian has a face for radio.
So anyway, we were asked, Rick said, we were talking about this, Rick's said, "Were we told to do it or did we volunteer to do it?" I said, "It doesn't matter. We choose." So I don't know what best serves the group answers lore would be, but I think it was a time when we were wanting, as an organization, to start a lot of these podcasts. And at the time, I was already doing one called SEC Spin Radio, which we did. It was basically an SEC football show I was doing with a co-host. It was actually a lot of fun to do, but like the band Van Halen, we had creative differences and had to split up. So I had some experience, and we took it from there. And Rick had all the relationships with guests, and we did, like, if you remember, Rick, we did Rick's List.
Yep.
Because you have just so many of those lists, and we did like the tweets of the week, and we would pick out a blog to feature, and we would have an interview. And I think what happened was that show wound up going like close to 60 minutes a lot of times, which is just I think the format was fine, but it was long. It probably felt long too.
Can I fill in a gap live on air? I asked for the group answers or the Groups Matter podcast.
Oh. Did you really?
As
wow.
a part
wow.
of my
wow.
role.
Wow.
So I asked for it.
Secret
you guys
revealed.
Started it, and Chris was the first guest before he even worked here.
So this is it.
We're having a moment right now.
This is historic.
Interesting. I remember I recorded it, and then it actually didn't air for like 5-6 months.
I remember that, actually.
It's a slow rollout.
I think I may have been
the
on
easy part was recording.
I think I may have been on the Lifeway staff before it actually rolled. But it took a while. But yeah, wow. what was kind of the goal from the beginning for this podcast, Rick? What would you say? Why would you guys do these 60 minutes?
Because Brandon was our boss and he requested it. Brian did the format for us because he had a history and he knew what he was doing. And as we got further into it, we wanted to. My guess, Brian, would be as we talked about it. We want to build an audience for Lifeway, for small groups, because there was something we could offer. We were kind of a hinge pin for a lot of small group ministers and pastors, but we had no way to connect them. And this seemed to be a way to do that. Also, we wanted to get practical content out there, not just vision casting and all that kind of thing. And Brian brought to the plate his background in small group leadership. I mean, he's been a small group leader in multiple churches and,
really?
And does a great job.
Didn't know that, Brian.
Yeah, so I think we also another objective would have been to lift up leaders that were doing things well and maybe innovative in the small group space to elevate best practices and make them known. I think that would have been another part of that.
Yeah,
but at its heart was to serve the local church in this way.
I'm trying to think about it. I don't know that there was another group specific podcast at the time. I don't know that Steve Gladen had started his. So you guys were probably first.
I thought Carolyn was doing hers at the time. Was she not?
I don't think so.
But Jay Daniels was doing that phone call thing.
There were some things like that. It was like a phone call, but like a podcast. I think you guys were like the first out because I don't remember because I had just written a book, and so one of the things when you write a book is you look for ways to publicize that book, and I don't remember another
pioneers.
Podcast.
To do. Podcast pioneers.
Yes.
Well,
you're the man.
That's right, man. Fist bump.
So it was called Groups Matter at the time, and that went along with it's kind of a campaign website. Is that why you guys called it Groups Matter?
Yeah, Groups Matter was an initiative that Eric Geiger brought to the forefront when he arrived here. And so there was a huge push for churches to start groups. Not the primary purpose, obviously, if you have a group ministry that's growing, you have a church that's growing. And that's one thing I'm able to tell my pastors constantly now because they don't realize that. Mm-hmm. So if you have a group ministry that's starting groups and starting groups, you have a growing church. And I think Eric realized the importance of that for the local church. And I think that's why the Groups Matter initiative. It was a big deal at the time.
Yeah. And there's still a groupsmatter.com page with some resources, so you can check that out. Well, I'm getting the maybe mouth from Brandon Hiltevedel.
I think it still exists.
It's there.
It's there.
I was there last week. It's there.
Somewhere close to the end of the internet, I'm sure.
Yeah. So let's look back a little bit. Rick, you were part of the first 26. Any moments that you remember that really stick out to you?
You know, surprisingly, the one that sticks out to me most probably shouldn't, because it was a Sunday school guy talking groups. And I say that not because I'm against Sunday school. I love Sunday school. It's a great ministry. But most of our work is with small group pastors like yourself and Brandon, who works in a church that's flourishing, and people who are in churches that were doing small groups, you know, the new thing, as Brian said. We had Alan Taylor on here, who still works for Lifeway. And my other passion is leadership, is learning leadership. And I'll not forget, as we were asking him questions and he was unearthing his thoughts, he was talking leadership. He wasn't talking like, this is how you lead a Bible study, this is how you, you know, you get your people in your group. It was just leadership upon leadership upon leadership. And I won't ever forget, I looked at Brian, and I'm sure you could tell in my eyes, I was kind of like, do you think it's okay if I kind of cut in here? I was trying to get his opinion. And I just said, let me just stop for just 1 second. If you're a small group person listening to this podcast, you're thinking, this is a Sunday school guy, I don't need to keep listening. You need to keep listening, because you can't have a great small group ministry unless you are first a great leader. Because he was just sharing leadership principles and practices rather than group principles and practices or Sunday school principles and practices. And that was just something that really stuck out in my mind, was the importance of learning leadership if you're going to lead a group's ministry.
Yeah. That's
good. One of the greatest predictors of a disciple's spiritual growth is regular Bible reading. That's why Lifeway created the Daily Discipleship Guide. This new resource in the Bible Studies for Life family contains content for a weekly group Bible study, but it also includes 5 daily devotions to reinforce what was learned in the group meeting. And that daily commitment to reading God's Word helps create a habit that leads to discipleship. To download 4 free sessions of the Daily Discipleship Guide, visit BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's BibleStudiesForLife.com/DDG. That's good. What about you, Brian? Anything stick out from early on or anytime?
Yeah, you know, it's funny the things you remember. Eddie Mosley's socks. He's always wants to look at his socks for visually for an audio show. That's one of the things. In terms of guest, Jeff Vanderstelt was one of the ones that I remember. I remember everyone, but Jeff, we've had him on.
Hey man, there's some that are a blur.
No outtakes here.
You've got to admit, some that are a blur.
Everything goes on the 100th episode. So Jeff has been on the show twice, and I was introduced with Jeff for the first time at the Gospel Coalition in Orlando. It's been a few years ago, and his seminar was on disciple making environments. Life on life, life on mission, and life in community, and discipleship happening as a within different environmental contexts, I thought was a really interesting. And I thought at least in the language he was using was fresh. I mean, we all know that nothing's really new. There are just different expressions and different language that we use. And so Jeff introduced really a new dynamic to me down there, and we had him on the show, and out of that came Making Space, which is the small group study. Chris, I think your group has done that.
Our group is doing it tonight.
Is doing it now.
Yep.
So Jeff's been on twice. Vince Vitale was a fun guest that mm-hmm. we had as well.
Yep.
And you know, we've had Tony Evans. We've had Jen Wilkin also come to mind that were really interesting. Heather Zimpel talking about generations. I really enjoyed that conversation in millennialism and what it takes to reach millennials. Those are just some top of minds.
There's another one I recall, Brian. You actually did the interview. I can't think of their names. The guys that make the films.
Kendrick Brothers.
Yeah, Alex and
Steve. You did an interview with those guys, it was fantastic. I'll never forget thinking those guys are movie makers. So it'll be kind of fluffy and not have a lot of spiritual substance. They quoted scripture upon scripture upon scripture, theological thought upon theological thought, as Brian was interviewing. And I'll not forget, we did that in a back room someplace, I think, when they were here for something.
Yeah, I actually had that on my list because we just recently interviewed them. It hasn't run yet. It'll run in July. But same thing. Guys came in and preached. I mean, you're expecting movie makers, and let's talk. And they did. They talked some of the logistics of making a movie, but it was really very spiritual, much about the gospel, and I was impressed, very impressed.
What about you, Chris? Favorite guest or memorable guest or just highlights?
You know, I was thinking about some of the fun stuff that we've done, and for a while we were basically in a closet.
Yeah.
Literally in a closet when we were at the old building. Rick, I think you were gone by then, but they had us in this little room that you could barely fit. I mean, I don't know how it had a table. It was just literally, it used to be a closet. And so that was where we recorded this. And I remember inviting Robbie Gallaty, Robbie Gallaty, to be a part of the podcast. And he came over because he pastors here in town. And I don't know how we squeezed him in the room.
No.
If you haven't seen Robbie Gallaty.
That sounds like
Gallaty,
a violation.
Yeah. He's literally, he's what, maybe 6 foot seven?
He's a mountain of a man.
Six foot seven, former bouncer, got incredible strength.
Current bodybuilder, former bouncer.
Yeah.
Number 23 in your programs, number one in your hearts, Robbie Gallaty.
But trying to squeeze Robbie into that closet was one of the funniest things I think I can remember. It's just, it was pretty funny. And then the next funny one was we decided to go remote with the podcast. We were gonna do the tour. And so we started on the floor of the SBC. So we're sitting out the middle of the SBC exhibit floor, and we've got a little like cafe table, and we're all hunched over it. We're about, what, maybe 20 inches from each other, you know, our heads, because we had to hunch over, and then just doing that was fun.
It was.
And then we did another remote one at a store with Robbie again.
Right, right.
Kind of a common theme.
He's our Alec Baldwin, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So he's been on more than anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
Robbie Gallaty's a lot of people's Alec Baldwin.
But as far as guests, I was just listing some of the ones. Jeremiah Johnston has been one of my favorite ones. Jeremiah is just one of the smartest dudes I've ever conversed with, and just the topics that he takes on with the Christian Thinker Society.
Yeah, he studied at Oxford University in the UK.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, yep. Didn't Vince Vitale as well?
Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, Vince may be Princeton, but he's probably run through there. Those guys are all the same.
Yeah, it's all the same. But I think Vince was Oxford. But yeah, but Jeremiah just answering those questions, unanswered is a great one. And then I thought about Kendrick Brothers, Jen Wilkin. I thought a fun one, too, is when we interviewed Michael Ware, who was on
Yes, that's right.
Obama staff. for the first term.
Riddle me that, Rick Howerton.
That's cool.
Yeah.
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 It was.
It was a great conversation.
Pioneers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just about his community, how he builds community, especially when he was in the White House. And kind of he was a part of a church and part of a small group, and how that was kind of a refuge for him out of kind of the craziness of politics.
And we didn't put Michael Ware on the spot, like when the mics were live, but we did ask him about how he handled like the pro-life, pro-choice tension while he was on staff on Obama. And his answer, do you remember that? You might be able to say it, articulate it better than me, but I remember him saying, well, I really wrestled with that. But I felt like if I was going to impose change, it would be much easier to do closer to the administration than ostracize from it, which made a lot of sense.
That's exciting. I need to listen to that podcast.
And he wrote a book, actually. In the whole book, there's one chapter on that conversation. He's a pro-life Democrat, but just incredible story. So it's been fun. It's fun to kind of do the range of different, you know, we've had small group practitioners. We've had a guy who worked in the White House. We've had just some incredible guests. Brandon, I know you have some deeply religious moments.
So I have a top three most impactful moments from the Group to Answer podcast. The third one is serious. So my number three most impactful, I'm not 100% sure this episode's even run yet, but not all that long ago, we force ranked group leader roles.
It just ran.
So
today.
That one was very convicting for me as I forced ranked roles and realized I wasn't even executing all of them. So sitting here and pretending to be an expert on group ministry and realizing how far I fall short in ways was special, I guess, and important. And hopefully recording a podcast will make me a better small group leader. My second most impactful moment was, and I'll be sure to let her know, actually she listens to this podcast, so she'll know that she did not make your list of favorite interviews, but having my wife as a guest on the podcast was really, really cool. I don't know that I'd been on the podcast at that point, so she may have beat me here. It was close, but
it was close.
When her book came out,
she was awesome.
She getting great. To be here. She,
Brandon wasn't on here before then.
He was,
but maybe I was.
It wasn't long before.
But
then.
She
did not
really
allow
cool.
you to be on hers.
Here's the thing. No, she would not let me in the room for that one. But here's the thing, because I told her. I mean, the world knows I love Brian Daniel with a deep, deep love. And I had told her how amazing Brian Daniel is. And I'm like, love, he's just hilarious, like super smart, really funny. You're going to love him so much. And she got home and I said, what'd you think of Brian Daniel? And she said, yeah, he was nice. I said, wasn't he hilarious? And she said, no, not at all. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, he was very, like, really locked in. And she's like, he was super smart, but I don't think he even tried to make one joke.
Yeah. And I rarely do.
He's a professional.
I was really disappointed that she didn't get the full Brian Daniel experience because I've had to tell her probably four times this. And I go tell her the funny things that you've said now so that she believes me. But having her on here was awesome. But my favorite, I'd say the number one most impactful life moment from the Group Answers podcast for me was one episode several months ago. BD opened the podcast during introduction time thusly. He was set up, welcomed, and he said, well, boy, howdy.
The Kentucky boys showed up there.
And I had never heard, and maybe it's not a real thing, but it felt like it's a real thing. Well, boy, howdy. And I've said, well, boy, howdy, multiple times and will until the Lord returns or until I go to him. Well, boy, howdy. Like, we almost couldn't continue the podcast.
Michael was on that one.
We almost couldn't continue the podcast.
Yeah,
because
that almost shut it down.
We were so alarmed
and
confused by the jargon.
Yeah.
Well,
so
sometimes
I'll never forget that.
Look, I've told you guys, when people are in the room, I like for Chris to count me in. And if he doesn't, it throws me off. And I was on the queue to introduce that show, and he never didn't count me in. And so when it went live, that's just what popped up. That's it. I've never said that term. I've never used that before or since. That's just what happened.
That's part of the fun of this podcast.
It came from some movie.
We don't really talk the intros or anything, and so you never know what Brian's going to come out with. Yeah. That's not the only time.
Apparently, neither does Brian.
Wait a minute. Is there a whole subculture here?
There is. I love the fact that you promoted Brian with your wife, but not me. You're going to love Brian Daniel. Chris Rett's in the room, but you're going to love...
We've worked together for a while. She knows you, but BD, I think, has a special humor. In my opinion...
It's not for everybody.
Apparently, it's not for my wife. Apparently.
And I'm sad to say, often enough, it's not for my wife either.
I have to go back and listen and see if you actually made some jokes on that one. I forgot. I had another favorite moment is when we were doing a power ranking of disciple makers in the Bible. And we got down to the top.
Brandon got hot.
Yeah,
he did.
I thought he was going to throw down.
Well, he did knock over the table.
I went under the table. Yeah, to try to avoid the swinging fists that were coming.
Yeah, it's rough sometimes.
Brandon gets
intense.
Listen, fight for your opinions.
Yeah, you do. Well, that forced rank, because we're not kidding around. You can't say all of them. There's got to be a number five.
That's been a fun kind of addition since we've added.
Has this run its course?
No, I think we'll have some more.
You can force rank things forever.
All right, so here's what I want to talk about next. Right. We've talked about moments. What do we see in the next 100 that just not just particularly guests, but maybe some trends or things we're going to want to talk about when it comes to community and group life over the next, now we're doing them every week, so it'll be 2 years, over the next 2 years.
So, Rick, you're out there every day talking with people. I'm sure you're picking up some things, and it would probably be unique in that, dare I say, you're in a rural setting a lot of times.
Yeah, so this is something I'm finding out that nobody's ever thought about, that a few of the churches I work with are doing. When we think of small groups, we normally think of large urban churches, or at least churches that are forward-thinking. I have a couple of churches in very rural areas. The churches run like 80, 90, and they, because of my small group background, they call and they say, can you help us talk through this? What does it look like? What would it be like? And I take the same approach that every small group pastor takes, and I help them learn how to do that. I do the training for them, two-hour training. And some of those churches, those two churches have actually had real significant growth. Now, it wouldn't sound like significant growth if you're in a big church. But if you're running 80 and you add 12 people because of your small groups, mm-hmm. and for the first time your church is out in the community, that's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And man, guys, you know how many rural churches there are?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man. It's the bread and butter of transformation, small groups are. Mm. And what I'm seeing is churches that are willing to embrace the small group concept, even in very rural communities, can make a huge difference in that community of 100 people if they reach 12 people through small groups. So that's say, Brian, that's one of the things.
Unpack what you mean by groups in that setting.
Well, let me see if I can differentiate between small groups and Sunday school. First of all,
What about like a Sunday night, Wednesday night? Is that gone even in the rural communities, or are they still meeting like what used to be training union that became discipleship? Are they still doing that? I mean, so the different expressions and groups and the churches you are in and out of most often.
It's according to the church you're speaking of, and normally it's according to the constituency in that church. So if it has a very traditional constituency and those people are influencers, it's very hard to make a transition. But in the churches that I'm talking about, and even some churches that aren't the rural churches that have done groups as I've spoken with them, they do much better if they do group in these traditional churches, especially if they'll do group on Sunday night and shut down their Sunday night services, because in their minds, that's a church night. They've grown up in the setting where that's a church night. So if they're willing to do that, they can have a significant group ministry for the size church they're.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think we tend to kind of generalize, say rural is Sunday school, urban is small group. And that's very interesting that you're seeing small groups not only exist but flourish, help grow the church. That's fascinating.
Well, one thing that excites me, one of the jobs I have is revitalizing dying churches. And I'm trying to help them understand if they're down to 12 people, group dynamics tells us they're no longer a church, they're a small group. They need to start thinking like a small group that's going to multiply. And I think that small groups, I think this could be huge as you guys approach this kind of stuff, what you're doing. If we could get out there to these churches that are dying and down to 12 or 11 people, that you need to consider yourself a small group that's going to grow and multiply. I think that nationwide, we could see churches that are dying revitalized through the ministry you guys have here through small groups.
That's cool. Interesting. Yeah. I heard a pastor, prominent pastor in Vegas on another podcast, and he talked about, this is recently, that they're starting to look at the ROI, return on investment, when it comes to small groups. And very, very large church, and they've determined that it's not high, that they're not seeing a lot of fruit through their small groups, so they're going to put emphasis in another place and basically try to get people to serve because that's where they're seeing the biggest fruit.
What do they mean by fruit?
I think that's the interesting conversation, and I think that's going to be a conversation going forward as maybe some prominent churches start to look at what is the fruit. You know, what are we getting out of our small groups? And if they're looking for, you know, things you, just purely numbers, then yeah, it may not look like the best ROI on the sheet. But are we looking for, you know, life change and obviously, you know, things like that?
I feel like I'm about to get heated like I did with when we were power ranking.
Bring it.
Don't hurt them, Hannah.
No, I feel like if you're even asking that question, then you probably don't believe in groups the way you would have to have a disciple making disciples structure in your church. Like if that's
where is disciple making happening?
If that's your filter, then you're probably not doing groups in a transformational way anyway. So if that's true, regardless of how you define fruit, you're not going to find it.
Right. All right, but I think that's a conversation. It's already happening.
I'm tuning in for that episode, guys.
Yeah, I'm seeing it in the social media's world. But yeah, I think we're going to have to talk about that. What is the ROI when it comes to groups? What should you be counting? What matters? And you know, why should you pay attention to it?
Well, I wonder if they're saying my people won't do this is what I'm wondering, and so they don't feel like their return on investment is strong because of the numbers of people. And that comes down to a leadership problem.
Right.
We don't say people won't do it. We say, have we led them to do this thing? Leaders lead people to do something, not just conclude they're not going to be doing that.
Yeah. Stanley said once that I find convicting all the time, your people are where you've led them to be.
Yep.
And anytime you look around and it's not what you wish it was, well, who did that?
Yep. No. Yep. That's good. All right. I guess we should wrap it up, Brian. It's this time.
It's never time. Keep going.
It's sad.
Man, we could
keep
going.
To close the 100th episode is sad.
We could keep going. We could just do 101. You guys want to just keep rolling?
This is now episode 115. Rick is unconscious.
And enjoying every minute of it, I promise.
Rick just wants to go home. All right, so
Podcast-a-thon.
We need to talk about another podcast that is on our network. This one is called the 5LQ. Have you guys listened to the 5LQ podcast with Ty Atkins and Daniel M. recently?
I have.
You have?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you may know this. As a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family.
I know the one about Paul Tripp.
They've recently interviewed leaders like Scott Sauls, who's a pastor here in the Nashville area. It's great. Paul Tripp.
Yep. Said so.
Russell Moore, you're reading it in front of you, so that's good. Good ride.
You're giving the indication that this show is scripted.
He's trying to make up for the Scarlett Hiltabattle episode.
That's right
now is what he's doing.
It was a lot of pressure.
There's a lot of pressure.
So they've recently done book breakdowns on the advantage in the four disciplines of execution. Just look up 5 leadership questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. And speaking of subscribe,
anywhere that you stream or download should be an opportunity to rate and make comments. But we would encourage you to subscribe. It helps us know kind of the traction as well, but we also pay attention to the comments, and those ratings do matter. I know Chris and I have looked at those and actually made adjustments to the show before based on feedback that we've received from you.
Please do that. They position our podcast in iTunes, so it becomes more visible when more people rate it, and especially when they comment, it jumps.
So the group answers show, we would appreciate you guys getting out there and just participating in that way. So, Rick Howerton, thank you for making the trip down. What is it, about an hour and a half to get downtown?
Just about an hour. It's an honor. Thank you, Brian.
And you guys live in Bowling Green now?
Yes, sir.
Back in the bluegrass and the heartland. That's a tough loss. I know it didn't affect you the way it did me. But I know that you were affected. So, great to have you back. We need to do this more often. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Brandon, as always, thanks for being with us and for all your contributions.
Yes, love you guys.
Over the years.
Yeah.
We just found out during this episode that Brandon is the father of the podcast.
The requester. That's all it is.
He's the father.
Let's call it father.
Father.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Great.
We'll do that. But Brandon, anyway, thanks for being with us. I know you've got a lot going on and giving up this time to be on the show. Chris, it's a pleasure. Looking forward to 100 more.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Thanks, everyone, for listening and hanging in there with us. We will be back kicking off the next 100 with, we're not numbering them anymore, but it will be, mind you, the 101st episode. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Group Answers. Thanks for listening.